The Genesis Communications Network is sponsored by the U.S. Money Reserve, your exclusive source for gold and silver precious metals. Visit them online at usmoneyreserve.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, it's about the future of our country, our kids, our grandkids, the generations yet be born, and hopefully they have a chance at enjoying the great American experiment. But it's going to be up to me and you, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to turn this boat around and get this country back on track. 7 out of 10 of us agree we're on the wrong track. I say, great observation. What does the right track look like? But let's start doing something about it. This is why you have to be an intelligent voter. Make sure you study up on the issues, the candidates, so you're choosing for the future of America. We've got the Supreme Court in balance. We've got foreign policy, budget, immigration. You know, the issues abound right now, not to mention the very heart and soul of this constitutional republic that has been so violated. But if we're just going to sit back and accept business as usual, we're going to continue to get business as usual. This upside down kind of activist operation that has been happening not only administratively out of the Beltway, out of the judiciary, not so much out of our bicameral houses, but even still, things, things have been thrown out the window. And when I say things, I'm talking about issues of morality and ethics. They seem to count so little these days. But America has to stand up and say enough is enough. Well, for those that said there was no way that the GOP was going to have a nominee with the 1236 going into Cleveland, well, after last night, it looks like one Donald Trump will have those numbers. It even became obvious to Ted Cruz. I think John Kasich is still studying the issue and trying to figure out the math, whether it's Common Core or whatever. But the numbers definitely, you know, without a doubt, you can say without hesitation that Donald Trump is the presumptive GOP presidential nominee for 2016. You might remember all these people who insisted that Donald Trump will not be the nominee. Just listen.
I feel very confident that the nominee is going to be anyone but Donald Trump. So that's a hypothetical that I don't have to look at as a Donald Trump possibility.
I have pledged to support the Republican nominee, and Donald Trump is not going to be the Republican nominee.
Well, I don't think it's likely that Donald Trump will be the nominee.
Now, there's this Trump thing going on, I gather. He's doing okay in the polls for a while, but he's not going to be the nominee either. So we'll be...
Yeah, Donald Trump's not going to be the Republican nominee.
People showing up. I don't believe Donald is going to be our nominee.
Well, Chuck, he's not going to get the nomination. I've been saying this for weeks, and that's kind of what I believe. So let's not get the cart before the horse.
Well, Donald Trump will not be the Republican nominee. Once we get past the first couple of states and the field consolidates, that's when Donald Trump will be vulnerable.
I will support the Republican nominee. I don't think that's going to be Donald Trump.
So that ABC Washington Post poll, I just decided I'm going to continue to believe Donald Trump will not be the nominee.
You believe in the
Marco Rubio or Ted Cruz or Chris Christie are good politicians, and one of them will defeat Donald Trump.
Well, if you get A attacking B and B attacking A, who's C? You're going to get a C. You're going to get a C. It's going to be Rubio. I'm telling you, it's going to be Rubio.
Well, you can believe one thing, you can think another, but then, John, there's reality. You know, you're hit in the face with the reality.
Right, we need a big buzzer sound effect.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, here it is. Now, again, what are you going to do about it? And as we talked about earlier this morning, with Wayne Allyn Root and Julianne Thompson, is that there needs to be bridges on both sides. Even though Trump says, hey, I didn't need the establishment, you were proven right. But, you've got to win the general election. And beyond that, hey, we got a country to run here. What is it going to look like? Is it going to look like another 4 years of the Obama administration where it's all about him and his ego and his dictates? Or is it going to be truly a government of, for, and by we the people? But it starts with we the people. This is why it's important for you to get registered to vote. vote, but make sure that you vote with some intelligence, okay? We need you in this program here. It's 5 minutes after the top of the hour. Thank you for being with us.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that style? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey, what's that style? Everybody,
well, hello, America. Yes, I think sometimes we need to stop. Sometimes in this hurry-up world in which we live in, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but it's okay. We have a little bit of time, but not a whole lot of time. It's not indefinite. The window of opportunity is starting to close, so there needs to be some sense of expediency here, especially politically. Just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour, I am Bill Martinez. It's always good to have you along with us. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. We come to you 3 hours every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific time. And with us right now, the one and only James Angel III. He's the Washington Examiner's politics editor, previously managing editor of the Daily Caller, associate editor of the American Spectator, and senior writer for the American Conservative. So he knows what he's talking about, okay? Jim, always good to have you with us. How you doing, buddy?
Good, Bill. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you for coming on to talk about your column. Boy, I'll tell you, you know, I know a lot of people were hoping that what the polling evidence was showing, and it seemed to be quite conflicted there out of Indiana for whatever reason. They have a hard time really getting their, you know, their thumb on the pulse of what's going on. You know, some polls were saying Trump was going to, you know, sweep it all, do really well. Cruz was competitive, but that's not exactly what happened in terms of the Cruz perspective last night.
Right. I mean, I think that the consensus of the polling was pretty clear that Donald Trump was going to win outside of one outlier poll, but there was a lot of variation in terms of how big his margin was going to be. Mm-hmm. But lately, Donald Trump has started outperforming his poll numbers. So in the northeastern states, where he was always expected to win, he did better than the poll said he was going to do. And for the most part, he did that last night. I mean, there were some polls that were really on the high end that he did outperform, but mm-hmm. for the most part, he outperformed the polling averages. You know, so it was a pretty big and dominant performance. That what he's been doing, and the reason Ted Cruz had to pull out, is that he's been taking these sort of winner-take-most states and sweeping them so overwhelmingly that they're almost like winner-take-all states. He's been yes. basically collecting all the delegates.
Exactly. And, you know, and I guess maybe more polling confusion out of the Democrats because Hillary was chosen to win the race and the Byrne came up to surprise her.
Yeah, and, you know, Bernie hasn't had very many upsets. I mean, he's been able to beat her in a number of states, but they've usually been pretty predictable and he's a bit ahead. I mean, the only previous real upset he's had was in Michigan. Usually when it's close, he falls short and she pulls it out. But that wasn't the case in Indiana last night.
What do you think is going to happen here? I mean, people have kind of, you know, in much the same way that they consider a Trump run, you know, they just kind of, you know, laugh about it. They really didn't take it seriously. And it's only recently in the case of Donald Trump, but they're starting to see with Bernie Sanders, like, going, wait a minute, this guy is a contender. Look at what's happening, and they expected, you know, already Hillary's campaign to be settled. Bernie says, hey, don't go too fast. I'm still in the game here. Look what happened to Indiana.
Right. I mean, it doesn't change very much in terms of the delegate math. I mean, she was still pretty far ahead, even just in the pledged delegates. And then when you put the superdelegate aspect into it, that really pads her lead by a lot and makes it hard for him to catch up. But what the fact that he keeps winning does keep the race unsettled. And Hillary would prefer to pivot now to the general election and start attacking Donald Trump. But exactly. She can't give the general her undivided attention as long as Bernie Sanders is in the race. He could conceivably do well in California. You know, maybe not well enough to beat her, but well enough to keep this going into the convention, and so the Democrats aren't ready yet to unite. It's odd that Hillary Clinton hasn't really, you know, buttoned things up, but Donald Trump, for the most part, has.
Yeah, amazing. Well, that says something about both candidates, without a doubt, and I would find it quite ironic. We said this earlier, James, that, you know, if, you know, with all the talk of an open, contested convention for the Republicans, it's now the Republicans that are settling things, and now Trump can, you know, point his big guns towards Hillary, and she's most vulnerable on many levels. And speaking of vulnerability, you know, she just gets more exposure by Bernie. The longer this contention goes on, and wouldn't it be ironic if come the Democratic, I don't think it's likely, but it would be ironic if the Democrats were the ones that faced an open convention.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, they may not face an open convention in the sense of the outcome is in real doubt, but, you know, if she has it clinched by a certain point, and unlike Hillary in 2008, Bernie keeps it going, really all the way through the convention, you know, it's going to create an interesting dynamic. And I think that's why you're seeing Trump starting to mention Sanders so much in his stub speech, talk about how the Democratic Party's process is rigged as well as the Republicans. You know, I think he's going to try to make an appeal for some of those Sanders voters.
You know, without a doubt. And I like that Trump threw out that seed to Bernie that, you know, it might be a good idea for him to start a third party. He could only wish that would happen. And Trump might might send him some seed money to do that, right?
It would be a good investment on Trump's part. That's definitely true.
Well, the polling, exit polls indicated once again, it's still the economy stupid, as they say, right?
Definitely. And you know, as bad as Trump's favorable numbers are, I think something that should concern the Democrats is that on fundamental issues like the economy and even national security, Trump's numbers aren't quite so bad. So, you know, as long as people are concerned about their personal finances, concerned about the state and direction of the national economy, you know, there's a real possibility that they could decide they'll vote for a businessman, a successful billionaire.
Well, when it comes to, you know, job creation and the perception of the voting politic, when you put them side by side, who's going to create the jobs but a guy who has been creating jobs, not somebody who is not necessarily known for that? You know, many questions asked of Hillary Clinton of what she accomplished as a senator, what she accomplished as a secretary of state, even going into what she accomplished in the White House. When you look at her history, what seemed to be more accomplished by her and Bill Clinton were scandals and lots of legal fees.
That's right. So, you know, she's got a long resume that she's going to use to say that she's the person with the relevant experience. But in terms of any degree of private sector experience, any experience creating jobs, and really any impressive list of accomplishments when she's held all these posts and positions of influence, those are areas where I think she's in a deficit. I'd expect Trump to hit her pretty hard on all of those points.
Well, Trump, as you say, Jim, I think is in, you know, kind of the catbird seat in terms of, you know, being the outsider. He is the definitive outsider, the politic, the voting politic. Their sense is, look, we've had it with the inside game and the Beltway, you know, shenanigans. We want to have somebody from the outside, somebody that can look out for our interests to come in. And that, I agree. I think that's going to be the overriding issue. And they can overlook a lot of things, just like they did with Bill Clinton's administration. They didn't care about an intern. They didn't care about this other stuff. All they cared about was that he was generating jobs and he was promoting the economy. James Andel, the Washington Examiner, politics editor on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Jim.
Is brought to you by Amway. Amway, a leader in direct selling, just launched the XS Sports Nutrition line, marking its continued expansion in the rapidly growing sports and performance nutrition market. The XS Sports Nutrition line features a variety of products, including pre- and post-workout supplements, energy bars, protein powder, and shakes to help you hydrate, energize, and recharge. XS Sports Nutrition products are designed to fuel active lifestyles by quenching thirst, boosting and sustaining energy, and hastening recovery and building lean muscle mass. According to Amway, everyone can benefit from these products, from athletes to everyday active and health-conscious consumers. In fact, the Natural Marketing Institute reports about half of U.S. adults consume sports nutrition products today. Amway said the thriving sports and performance nutrition market marks an exciting new opportunity for Amway independent business owners and the next generation of entrepreneurs. The new XS Sports Nutrition line is an extension of the XS brand, which Amway acquired last year and has distributed since 2003. For more information, visit amway.com/XS.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At contractorexam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, contractorexam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.contractorexam.com today.
This is it. For the first time ever on this station, U.S. government gold offered at cost for only $139 each. With Wall Street suffering its worst start to a trading year in history, now is especially the time to be paying attention to gold. This first time ever, U.S. legal tender government gold offered at cost for only $139 each is from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call them at 1-866-944-GOLD. Gold is on the move, so don't miss out. For the first time ever on this station, U.S. government gold offered at cost for only $139 each. 1-866-944-GOLD or online at usmoneyreserve.com. Ask for a free 55-page gold buyer's book. Plus, get a free Walking Liberty half dollar just for reading this must-have book. Get your free gold book, your free half dollar, but most importantly, get your gold at cost for only $139 per coin. 1-866-944-GOLD.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? Well, at Bill Martinez Live, our healthy body weight loss system simply nitrifies the body, bringing down cravings. It's been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com, longevity, or call 855-305-8326. Again, 855-305-8326.
Listening to Bill Martinez live.
Don't know what it is that makes me love you so.
Welcome back, America. This is Bill Martinez live. Good to have you along with us. With us right now, Aaron Mercer, the Vice President of Government Relations for the National Religious Broadcasters. Aaron, good to be talking to you again. Not since Nashville we have a chance to get together, so it's good to get caught up on the other side of NRV.
That's right. That's right. It's good to be on again. It was great to see you in Nashville for our convention, and it's great to be back on with you now.
Well, we got to keep the conversation going, especially in light of NRB weighing in on this upcoming First Amendment case. You filed recently a friend of the court brief in an important First Amendment case likely to come before the Supreme Court this autumn in Trinity Lutheran Church versus Pauley. It's a Missouri church that operates a preschool, and they're being challenged there by the state of Missouri for denying it a playground resurfacing grant solely because it's a church. I mean, is this what it's coming down to now, Aaron?
Yeah, this is, I mean, it's a very important case, and it's something NRB definitely wanted to weigh in on, and actually a number of other organizations weighed in on it as well, other religious organizations, as well as the legislators and states. I mean, that shows the importance of this case that's coming before the court. Yeah, it's pretty significant when you look at it. In this situation, as you mentioned, this Trinity Lutheran Church in Missouri, they operate a preschool, and they applied for a grant to resurface their playground to make it more safe for the children who are at this preschool and daycare center. And they were actually the state in its case admits that they were very qualified for this grant. There was nothing that would have put them below other people who wouldn't be getting the grant. So they were certainly qualified for it, but the state decided not to give them the grant money because they were a church. That was the reason. And that, you know, that's discriminating against the church. That's what that is. You know, a lot of times we have these arguments about whether or not the government is establishing religion somehow. Is it, you know, by favoring someone? But in this case, it's the government penalizing people for being a church. And it certainly has a lot of potential ramifications beyond this case. But in this case, it seems like the facts are pretty cut and dry that this should be something the court should rule that the state of Missouri, how they acted was unconstitutional.
Well, doesn't this say something about the culture and the state of things right now, especially as it relates to the church? The church more and more has, you know, come under attack. And for something like this that just seems so basic, I mean, this is how bad it's gotten?
Yeah, no, this is something we definitely need to be paying attention to in the brief that we filed with Christian Legal Society and a few other organizations. You know, one of the things we pointed out is that churches and other, you know, places of worship and whatnot get basic police and fire protection, water and sewer connections, things like that. Or you could extend it further, like if there is a disaster scenario, then public safety money or money like that is from the government goes to churches just like anybody else, or it should, because everybody needs access to these public safety funds and services. So we, you know, there's no establishment of a religion there. People shouldn't be punished because they are people of faith, and that's something that we need to be very careful of in this situation and others. People shouldn't be penalized because of their faith, because they practice their faith, because their beliefs don't align with the beliefs of others. It's something that we need to be weighing in on, and we are.
And the state, it doesn't hesitate taking tax money from the people who go to church on Sunday, right?
Well, that's a good point. Those people are taxpayers as well.
Yeah, and I mean, it just seems so academic whether you go to church or not. I mean, the concern for safety should trump everything. But now, all of a sudden, again, the logic, as Justice Scalia would say, has become applesauce here. I mean, we've got ourselves so twisted into this thing just because we want to come against, we just want to come against the church.
You know, people of faith, they aren't second-class citizens, and that in this situation, that's not that's what the worry is here, is that they're being treated like a second-class citizen. You know, I'll tell you, a member of the National Religious Broadcasters is Alliance Defending Freedom. They're actually representing the church in this case before the court, and it's likely that this case will come up in most likely in the fall before the Supreme Court for oral arguments. And they're doing a great job there, and they've made this point very, very well as well in their briefs, and I know that they will again before the court. the government, you know, the government is it's not being neutral towards people of faith if it's treating them differently than everybody else, and in this case, certainly treating them worse. So, well, no, it's something that needs to be argued. It's something that the court needs to consider, and we know we think needs to come out and say that the state of Missouri was unconstitutional in what they did here. And, you know, there's hope for that, too. There have been good decisions like this in the past few years. And actually, one, this was not a Supreme Court case, but one that's one victory that happened last year, in this past year, in Kentucky. The state of Kentucky had attempted to deny an organization a grant, a tourism grant. And thankfully, that decision by the governor's office was stayed by a court in the past few months. So, you know, there's hope that things can go the right way here. It's unfortunate it has to go all the way to the Supreme Court to happen, though.
Well, it just keeps attorneys busy, you know, because there's not enough work. And I'll tell you, with this litigious sentiment that continues to grow in our culture, man, I'll tell you, some of this stuff, you're just waiting for some judge to stand up and say, you know, get out of here. You're wasting my time. We don't even want to address that. That seems so petty and academic. But, you know, relevant to, you know, our religious freedoms here, I think people of faith have to realize just because it has always been doesn't mean that it will always be. And what we're seeing is this this wave against religious freedom. And of course, as ADF senior counsel, you had mentioned the Alliance Defending Freedom that is on top of this case here. Their senior counsel, David Cortman, said a government isn't being neutral toward religion when it treats religious organizations worse than everyone else. And that's your point, right?
That's right. That's exactly right. And to your point as well, we need to be staying vigilant. Like you said, just because we've really been able to, whether we should or not, you know, we've been able to take some things for granted in the past, and we can't take them for granted now.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly this case is proof of that, as well as a number of other happenings around the country that have been in the news recent days and I'm sure have been on your show. You know, we can't be taking this for granted, and we need to be vigilant, and certainly NRB will be among those who are being vigilant. And our focus at the NRB is the First Amendment, defending free speech, defending religious freedom, the freedom to believe, and we will continue to be active in that regard.
Well, you know, and the other thing that people, again, need to be mindful of is, you know, there's always a price for liberty. It's never free, and you've got to be prepared to get active. You know, the sentiment here in our country has been that we've been diverted by so many other things, and we've entrusted our liberties to people who have been happy to take over our liberties, and now we're waking up and going, hey, what happened here? And it's down to the point that, you know, something so basic as religious freedom and the way it's been argued, Aaron, I know people are scratching their heads and they're saying, well, wait a minute, this is such a small group of people that are coming after a majority of, you know, religious freedom people here. How can this be happening? But, you know, we're seeing minorities have a big voice in this country these days.
You know, we need to remind ourselves and make sure we educate ourselves on how important those fundamental freedoms are that our country was founded on. Mm-hmm. Among those were the freedom of speech and the freedom of religion. Religious freedom was actually the first freedom that was listed in the Bill of Rights. And we need to make sure that we are educating ourselves and being mindful of that, educating our families. Because if we don't remember those things, if we don't stand up for them, then you're right, they can easily slip away. And once they go away, they're a lot harder to get back again. So we are on the high ground right now. We have religious freedom. We have free speech. We have freedom of assembly. We have all these freedoms in our Bill of Rights, in our Constitution. We have the high ground right now. Mm-hmm. But we need to make sure that we're standing up and protecting them.
Without a doubt. Aaron Mercer, Vice President of Government Relations. Aaron, thank you so much for being with us. Good points here on religious freedom. And how do we stay on top with the NRB and what's going on, you know, with all that you're doing?
Well, I would certainly encourage your listeners to check out nrb.org. Check us out there. And if you're interested in learning more about what's going on here in Washington and what we're tracking, we have a publication called Freedom Today. And certainly recommend you check that out as well.
Well, that's great. Aaron Mercer, Vice President of Government Relations for the National Religious Broadcasters. Aaron, thank you so much for being with us.
This report is brought to you by Allegra Allergy. Spring is in the air. Unfortunately for allergy sufferers, so is pollen. Achoo! In fact, more than 60 million Americans suffer from hay fever and other upper respiratory allergies. Allergy symptoms can lead to disruptions in our lives, interfering with everything from sleep to outdoor activities. It's important for allergy sufferers to manage these symptoms so they, too, can enjoy the sunshine. Allergist and immunologist Dr. Nita Ogden.
Spring can be a tough season for people with allergies, but that doesn't mean they need to suffer through it. I recommend that my patients create an everyday allergy plan to avoid their triggers. For example, checking the pollen forecast in the morning, changing clothes when they get home, and showering before bed. To relieve symptoms, I recommend treatment options that are available over-the-counter at prescription strength.
Allegra Allergy is an over-the-counter antihistamine that starts working in 1 hour, offering adults fast, non-drowsy relief from symptoms like itchy, watery eyes and runny nose. For more information, visit www.allegra.com.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
All right, listen up, because this is the most important thing you're going to hear all day. What if I said you could make money flipping houses without any cash, credit, or manual labor? And what if I said you could do it part-time from the comfort of your home? Sound unflippin' believable? Hi, I'm Preston Neely, and I'm going to prove it by sending you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It sells online for $19.95, but I'm giving away free copies this week. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-959-9582. I used to be so broke, I had my electricity shut off 9 times. But I figured out a simple way to make money flipping houses without even breaking a sweat. Now I'm living the good life, and so should you. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. Hands down, it's the fastest, easiest way to get started in real estate. Let me prove it. Call right now to find out how to get your free book. When they're gone, they're gone. Call 1-800-959-9582. 1-800-959-9582.
Bill Martinez, live.
Play tambourine with a silver jingle.
And we will sail away on the wings of love into the night.
They never have I known it when it felt so good. Never have I known it when I knew I could. Never have I done it when it looked so right. Leaving Louisiana in the broad daylight.
It's always a great day here at Bill Martinez Live.
Hey, why not? Let's have it a great day. I mean, given the choice, good, bad, great. Hey, I'll take great anytime, huh? How about you? Hey, welcome back. It's Bill Martinez Live coming at you. Don't forget to drop me an email, bill@billmartinezlive.com, as we get ready for a National Day of Prayer tomorrow. We're giving away free DVDs of the movie War Room from the Kendrick Brothers. I'll tell you, what a powerful movie, and they did so well with it, understandably so. And you know, this movie will inspire you to, set up a very strategic prayer life. And why not start it, with the National Day of Prayer tomorrow? So send me your email, bill@billmartinezlive.com. Get in on the drawing. We've got free DVDs to give away. I'd love to give one to you. So get your email to me. Say, Martinez, hey, I want that DVD. Hey, we'll get it your way. Jeffrey Stevens is with us. He's the author of Rogue Mission. It's a Jordan Sander thriller. Jeffrey, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Hey, well, it's another one of these books and stories that are ripped from today's headlines, as they say. Rogue Nation, a thriller that resembles the dangerous world we live in. I'll tell you, it can be quite eye-opening. It's one thing to see it in the news, but when we see it being written about and you think about, okay, the trajectory that we are on when it comes to national security and other issues of our life. If you extend it out, you know, where is America going to be? You know, it's quite quite an alarm, and maybe one that we need for a time such as this.
I could not possibly agree more. You know, I was talking the other day with somebody about creating a thriller like this. Mm-hmm. And when you start to write it, you come up with the plot idea, and then you block it out, and then you write it, and then you edit it. For me, the process takes a year, and you think, gosh, if I'm going to do a contemporary thriller like this from a right-wing perspective with everything going on in the world, I wonder if it's still going to be relevant a year from now. And mm-hmm. sure enough, a year later, we haven't contained ISIS. And unfortunately, the book is still incredibly contemporary and relevant. That's a problem in a way.
Yeah, without a doubt. And Jeffrey, for you, I mean, let's go back and rewind a bit. I mean, you were one of those brainiac kids in school, and you know, you're, I mean, you're breaking barriers and going at it, you know, quite against the norm of what we were talking earlier with Professor Emeritus Zimbardo, who talked about Man Interrupted and how our young men today are being apprehended by video games. You didn't have time for that kind of stuff. You stayed focused on what you needed to do. You knew there was something gnawing at your very spirit that said, "Hey, look at you! You got to get smart here." And not that you weren't already, but you needed to get it all documented. And so you end up choosing a legal profession, and then a funny thing happened on the way to the law practice. You decide, "Hey, I'm writing books, and I kind of enjoy this more, huh?"
Yeah, no question. A funny thing happened on the way to the court is right, because the way I came up with the Jordan Sandra character was I had a friend of mine, and I found out quite accidentally that he was working for the CIA. He was a corporate guy, but he had this private life that I kind of stumbled on. And somewhere along the way, I thought, boy, it'd be a nice idea to write a novel. I was trying to write novels in those days, and I write one about him. And I thought, Bill, it was going to be a one-off. I mean, I thought the first one, Targets of Deception, just going to be one story about this guy based on a real CIA agent, and it did pretty well. And then he said, how about another and another, and now this is number four, and I'm working on number five.
So he didn't tell you I could tell you, but I have to kill you first? I mean, you know, CIA agent and all?
Something like that. It really was something like that. And so obviously he couldn't tell me too much of what he's doing, but I understood that he was traveling the world and engaged in different things, and we became very close friends, and I came to have great respect not only for him, but all of these people who do what they do without praise, without the accolades. I mean, as you know, somebody from the CIA, a field agent dies, and all he gets is a star on the wall in Langley because they won't even release his name for fear of endangering his family.
Exactly. And this is the thing. I mean, this, in a sense, what some have referred to as a shadow government, shadow protectors. But this is the world in which we live in. And as you say, they go unheralded. But yet we should have our eyes opened up, because unfortunately we hear more about the negative and the bad than we do the good, just for the exact reason that you just cited.
Well, that's right. And Rogue Mission, that's the point of the title is that in this one, Sandor, who is usually an iconoclastic character anyway, goes directly against the orders of his superiors and embarks on this mission to find out what's going on with some plots that he's uncovering when he's told not to. Because you don't have heroes like that, then we're really in trouble. And this idea that we should be stopping these people because it's politically correct is an absurdity to me. I mean, I've seen what goes on, and I've seen what things have been stopped by the agents, like real life agents like Jordan Sandor, who really go and do what they need to do in order to protect us.
Well, Jeffrey, today in this 21st century America that we live in, threats surrounding us, our borders are broken down. The bad guys and bad players of the world are coming into our country. They have made it explicit that their one desire is to eradicate the United States and anybody like you and me and our families that are associated with the American way of life. They want us dead and be gone. And this is real life. This is what's happening. But it seems as time goes on, that you know, the mission of CIA, Jordan Sandor, these things you know, are increasing in dimension and significance in our country.
There's no question. You know, this administration claims we're defeating ISIS, but all we're doing is relocating them. So they go from the deserts of Iraq and Syria, now they're on the streets of Paris and Brussels. And people, I promise you, would be astonished if they knew how many attempts to attack the United States are frustrated by people like real-life Jordan Sandor characters who really go out there and risk their life and limb in order to uncover these plots and to prevent them.
Well, Jeffrey, we're trying, and I know the CIA, I say we, because I want to be on the side of the CIA, the good guys who are out there, you know, trying to keep this at bay and keep it as an existential threat. But more and more, we see this slow creep coming in because of the broken boundaries and borders that we have, as I mentioned earlier, maybe this is sadly what America is inevitably up to or up for, I guess.
Well, it's certainly inevitably what we're up against, and we need to wage the good fight here. And, you know, obviously, look, Rogue Mission is written as an entertainment first and foremost. I want people to be entertained. I want it to be a page-turner. But I also want it to be authentic and thrilling and to raise questions for people. I mean, a lot of the reviews, as you've probably seen with everything that we probably have bombarded you with in marketing material,
yeah.
say that, you know, Sandor is a guy that it's easy for America to root for and that the frightening parts of this story are the parts where these things could really be happening right now. And if someone's not out there trying to protect us from them, we've got an issue. And as you say, with porous boundaries and borders, we're let people in here, you know, that are our sworn enemies to start with. Then they come here and they plot. And we have to be ever vigilant, otherwise we're going to have trouble.
Well, and for you, like any author, you know, they always say that when they write a book, it's a snapshot of what is. But yet the snapshot of what you present in Rogue Mission is also a warning of things to come down the road. So not only will the life of Jordan Sandor continue, I suspect, but we also need to look at the real life, circumstances in which America finds itself in this 21st century. Go ahead. We're okay.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, you dropped out there for a minute. I'm sorry, Jeff. Go ahead. Pick it up.
I'm sorry. I was just saying that I was agreeing with what you said earlier, that these people want to kill us. I mean, there's no morality to it. There's no political agenda. This is a jihad where they just want to kill us. And terrorism is an end in and of itself. It's very dangerous.
Well, Jeffrey, congratulations on Jordan Sandor. I mean, this is one of those Bourne movies, you know, that should be turning into. And I anticipate it's a matter of time before it happens. Jeffrey Stevens has been with us, author of A Rogue Mission. Rogue Mission, available at all the usual places, right, Jeff?
That's correct.
Well, thank you so much for being with us, Jeffrey Stevens. Rogue Mission, a new Jordan Sandor thriller. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 18 before the top of the hour.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Purchase a ProPure system during the Crazy May sale and get a free ProMax shower filter or water filter pitcher. Remove up to 200 contaminants with the Pro1G 2.0 truly cleanable, reusable filter. We don't stretch our claims. We just deliver performance. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
This report is brought to you by Microsoft. If you're a small or medium-sized business in this fast-paced digital world, making sure you have the latest technology is essential. From increased revenue and security to employee collaboration and productivity, there are many benefits to upgrading your technology to the cloud. Office 365 and Windows 10 were built to provide strong ROI for businesses of all sizes. Cindy Bates, Vice President of U.S. SMB Microsoft.
With new stories in the press daily about the vulnerability of data for companies big and small, cybersecurity remains a top concern for America's small businesses. We encourage entrepreneurs to pay particular attention to how they safeguard their business. Investing in modern technology like Office 365 and Windows 10 devices offers small business owners continually updated security to help protect information vital to earning customers' trust.
For more information, visit www.microsoft.com/business.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Are you sneezing, coughing, and aching? Do you have a sore throat, a fever, or the sniffles? There's no reason to be sick this cold and flu season with immune system support from Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver can give your body the help it needs to fight off harmful pathogens without hurting beneficial gut flora and without leaving behind resistant bacteria. Antibiotics can damage good microflora and often leave behind bacteria which can cause problems later on. If you're sick of being sick, try Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver, the number one choice of thousands for a safe and effective way to protect against the many diseases and illnesses that we are facing today. Go to supernaturalsilver.com, read our customer reviews, and see the life-changing results that people are having. That's supernaturalsilver.com. Supernaturalsilver.com. Use the promo code PROTECTED for 20% off your entire order. And like us on Facebook. Supernatural Silver.
A good stove is at the top of the list for any serious survivalist. That's why you have to see the full range at Emberlit.com. Simple, elegant, but extraordinarily efficient. Available in titanium or stainless steel, the Emberlit line of stoves are ultralight, packed flat, and work great. Fueled only by sticks and debris, from emergency situations to long-term survival, Emberlit stoves are up to the task. Emberlit, the most convenient, easy-to-carry wood stoves on the planet. See them all at Emberlit.com.
Across the country, on your smartphone, and around the world.
Ooh, there's a wonderful world of softness, a wonderful world of freshness. It's the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful world.
You've tuned in to Bill Martinez Live.
Hey, welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here with you. As always, great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. For more information on the show, Bill Martinez Live, that's BillMartinezLive.com. If you want to drop me an email, by all means, Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. With us now is Alex Kendrick. He and his brother, referred to as the Kendrick Brothers, pioneered the modern faith film industry, beginning a wave of faith-based movies that has drawn remarkable attention from Hollywood in the last couple of years. The first four movies together cost only $2.7 million. This makes the executives in Hollywood go nuts because they see these numbers. They go, are you kidding me? This is an incredible return on investment. But this is what happens when you have faithful men and people that make up, the team that the Kendrick brothers have assembled to get this kind of return on investment. You know, God says, be fruitful, go out and multiply. And what do the Kendrick brothers do? They actually just, you know, listen to God and you're obedient and, God has blessed your efforts, whether it's been with Flywheel, Facing the Giants, Fireproof, Courageous, and of course, their most recent movie, War Room. Alex Kendrick, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good to talk to you, Bill.
Hey, always good. Good to have you back with us. Boy, you got some exciting things going on. We got the National Day of Prayer coming up next month on Cinco de Mayo. But before that, the end of this month, you got a special screening of War Room that's going to be on churches across the country, right?
That's exactly right. About 200-plus churches are giving a free screening of War Room on April the 30th. That's a Saturday, different times of the day. You can actually go to warroomthemovie.com and put in your zip code to see where it's showing for free. And we're doing that because we're passionate about prayer. We're passionate about the National Day of Prayer. And, man, if there was ever a time for us to return back to the Lord in prayer, it's now. And so this is a way to remind people of the importance of it. And we continue to hear just incredible stories of people who have seen the film and how it encouraged them to either renew their prayer life or take the next step of making it a priority in their lives and families and marriages. And so We're showing it for free in about 200 churches. Again, you can go to warroomthemovie.com and put your zip code in and find all the churches in your area that are screening it.
Well, and the way it was presented in terms of, you know, with Miss Clara, in fact, we spoke with the original inspiration of Miss Clara from the movie. We had an interview with her daughter, just a really sweet conversation about a woman of God that inspired you in terms of the foundation of this character, Miss Clara, right?
Yeah, you know, we had real-life Miss Claras in our life and even making the movie. And we went to these people who were so seasoned in their walk with God and in their prayers, and much of that ended up in the movie. So if you've seen War Room, you know what we're talking about. But if you haven't, you would see there's an elderly character who learns to fight her battles in prayer first. She basically strategizes in prayer. What I mean by that is not just making prayer the spare tire that you pull out in an emergency or in a crisis, but making it more like the steering wheel. And we would say that as we seek the Lord in each area of our lives and draw closer to Him in a relationship, using prayer as the steering wheel for your life, God is pleased by that. And He loves ordering our steps, guiding us, protecting us, leading us. And so, again, with what's going on in our culture, we encourage everyone to spend more time in prayer and to seek the Lord. We think He is the answer, not necessarily politicians or anything else.
Exactly.
And so War Room is just a reminder of the power and necessity of prayer in our lives.
Well, you know, we pray, you know, when you first consider praying, why should I pray? Well, if you're not realizing any benefit of prayer, then there's no reason to. But when you see what's demonstrated here, and as you say, Alex, there are many of Miss Clara's around us. For me, I had a praying grandmother. I mean, boy, when you were on her list, she made things happen. I mean, she had like a direct line to God. It was just powerful. And, you know, so we've been blessed to have these kind of benchmarks and examples in our lives. And Karen Abercrombie, wow, you know, she played that role so, just, you know, so brilliantly. And in fact, every time I think of her, I hear that cry out to God, raise them up. I mean, it puts goosebumps on me, Alex. I mean, I still think about this, and, you know, and how her cry to God to raise up, you know, prayer warriors. If we ever needed it, it is now, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, Jeremiah 29:13 tells us that God says to us, if you seek me, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. Well, we're good at seeking God with a half heart, you know, kind of a right. lukewarm effort. But He's looking for those who are totally sold out to Him. And you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14, a verse that's familiar to a lot of people, where He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their sin and pray, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land. And wow, do we need healing in our land. We need those who are already followers and believers in the Lord to turn to Him, not with a half-heartedness, but with a
exactly.
wholeheartedness, and say, God, you are number one priority. You're number one over entertainment, over my personal goals, over money and jobs and everything. And when we do that, He promises to show up in unexpected ways and in power. So we can't treat God like an employee. We can't treat Him as our servant. He is God. We have to treat Him as such. And when we honor Him, He does incredible things. So it's time for our country to return back to Him in prayer.
Well, Alex, as you say, you know, in quoting 2 Chronicles 7, is that, you know, that issue of humbling, what that represents, that it's not about us. It's all about God's sovereignty and His plan and purpose, even for the United States today. And not only us, Israel, the world, His creation. I mean, for His creation, He sent His Son. He's all in, and He wants to know, are we all in with Him?
That's exactly right. And, you know, He gave everything to us. He sent His Son to die on the cross for us. And what more can He do?
Yeah, right.
And so He's saying, I'm offering forgiveness for not things God has done wrong, things we have done wrong. And He says, you know, if you turn to me, if you call on my name, I'll save you. And so for me, what I did, I read that. I learned that it was true. I recognized that I'm capable of doing all sorts of terrible things and selfish things. So I asked the Lord to forgive me. I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me, to be my Lord and Savior. And I daily now pray and I seek Him. And He has made all the difference in my life. And He can do the same thing in our culture.
That's right. Well, when you look at the evidence clearly that is before us at every turn, whether we talk about families, the children, abortions across this country, what is happening on the political level, you know, this country right now is considering our next president, and they're more confused than ever. They just don't know what to do anymore. In fact, I think that in some circles, if you told people, you said, hey, guess what? We canceled the election in November, they'd say, oh, good, okay. I mean, this is how unraveled and unanchored we've become.
It is, and you know, it just it's a reminder that you cannot put your faith and trust in man. Mm-hmm. Man will let you down, and so even though we do need structure, we do need government and politicians, and fortunately we do all need to vote this coming election, but at the same time, that's not where our trust needs to go. Our trust needs to be in the Lord, and therefore our focus and our priorities and prayer need to be on the Lord. He is the answer. He's the one that brings stability and peace, and any prosperity and protection that we have ultimately come from him. Yes, he uses man to a degree, but that's not where our primary trust needs to be. And so this election is important. We encourage everybody to read up on the issues and to prayerfully you know, vote. But at the same time, keep your trust in the Lord. He is the one who holds everything in his hand.
Amen. Well, coming up on Cinco de Mayo, May the 5th, the National Day of Prayer, it is a time for a nation to humble itself in front of a holy God and to announce to the rest of humanity for that purpose to say, look, it's not about us. It's about a holy God and us reconciling ourselves and confessing to God, coming into agreement with God's purposes for not only America, but the world in this 21st century. Right, Alex?
And that's exactly right. And I'm reminded in the book of Acts where he says, return to me, I'll return to you and refresh you and cleanse you. And when I look around in our culture, I think, wow, do we need that refreshment? Mm. We need cleansing and a renewal and to make the main thing. And God helped us establish this country. And the more we abandon him, the more in trouble we get. And so it's time for us individually and collectively to say, God, we're returning to you. Forgive us of chasing after our own, you know, selfishness. And, you know, ultimately we get into trouble by following what I would consider political correctness. And what I mean by that is political correctness kicks God off the throne and sticks man on the throne. Mm-hmm. That's my best definition of political correctness. And we will never find satisfaction in that because we have ever-changing values in political correctness. And so returning to the anchor that is the Lord and his word is the answer.
Exactly. Alex, why is it that people have a hard time in understanding that if we turn to God and go toward him, he will come running toward us? I mean, as parents ourselves, you know, for those of us that have been parents, we know that when there's something wrong in our relationship with our children, all it takes is for the child just to turn toward us in just the slightest way. And as parents, you know, like that father that's exampled in the New Testament who runs after his prodigal, that, you know, cinches up his garment to go fast after his child to welcome him back into the fold. Why can't we see that there's a loving father in heaven that is, you know, time and time again, who has done that and is willing to do it again?
You know, it's because it's hard for us to surrender our will and to let someone else be in charge. But that is the answer. When we surrender our will to the Lord, it's in the right place, and he holds our future. He holds our answer in his hand. And so to surrender is actually to surrender to the right person is fulfillment. And that's
exactly
what we need to do.
Well, Alex and Stephen Kendrick, of course, have given us so much. And thank you for your ministry, Alex, for your love of God and for all the work. We wish you all the best. And for all those churches that are going to experience on April the 30th, the War Room Church screenings, I know that you will be blessed and it's going to change your prayer life. And we'll see you on May the 5th for the National Day of Prayer, Alex. Thank you so much.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.